We've just been incredibly lucky. We've got Guy Valente over to teach a seminar at this incredible academy, the Ciudadanos Academy. And even more lucky that there's now have a chat and we'll talk about what we've just done through the training, the philosophy of Jiu-Jitsu, and hopefully we're going to have some stuff.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be back here in London after a few years to teach once again. Of course, Danny and I, we've been friends now for quite some time. We met first, was it Miami or here? I remember I called you one time. I needed backup here in London, right? and you were ready. Yeah. And really enjoyed my time here at the Ciudadanos School. The first time we met, but doing a great job, very nice, organized, clean school. And thank you so much, of course, also having one of our students, Eric from Holland, the Dutch kickboxer, Jiu-Jitsu black belt. So yeah, anything you guys want to talk about?
So we've just done the six pillars of brown fighting, that was the basis of the seminar that you taught us today.
Yes.
Nobody listening will probably know about this, about the book that you taught us about.
Yeah, this is actually very interesting because it's the six rules of brown fighting, which is part of a book called Game of Jiu-Jitsu. This book was written by Yukio Tani and Taro Miyake. It was first published here in London in 1906. And it's a book that has, I think, a huge relevance in the history of our lineage, of our Jiu-Jitsu in Brazil. Reading the book, we see the similarities, we see the connection between the book's material and what we do and how Jiu-Jitsu developed. So actually, I really recommend those that like Jiu-Jitsu to grab a hold of this book.
What would the discipline be that would have been practicing guys who wrote that book? This was before the days of...
Yeah, they of course, at the time already, even though it was 1906, most Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, at the time, Jiu-Jitsu and Judo were synonyms, right? They were used interchangeably. But even though most of them had a Kodokan influence, these two Japanese teachers were really more independent. And they were also involved in challenge matches, and they were pushing a lot of ground fighting as well. So that's how we find it to be very interesting and connected to the development of Jiu-Jitsu, especially among the first Gracie brothers.
But the original Gracies, when they first found Jiu-Jitsu, they were Sykes brothers, is that right?
Actually, Carlos and Eddie's dad, he was a businessman, and apparently one of his businesses was a circus. So in that circus, it was at the time, it was also common that in circus, attractions, they had what now we call MMA fights. And usually the smaller Japanese fighting bigger and stronger individuals, and they were doing that throughout Europe. Of course, here in England, this happened a lot, and also eventually in America and throughout the Americas. So that's how Jiu-Jitsu first spread. The first revolution of Jiu-Jitsu in the early 1900s really occurred in a way similar to what happened then, almost 90, 80 something years later, in the UFC. So, what else? What we should talk about? We were talking a little bit, Luciano and I, about the philosophy, right? And how Jiu-Jitsu, of course, is often said to be a philosophy, but few people really talk about it.
Sure.
So that's something that my older brother, Peter, he really studied, of course, motivated by my father, who was a doctor, but practiced Jiu-Jitsu his entire life, became a grandmaster under Eddie Gracie, and trying to break down the philosophy of Jiu-Jitsu according to, of course, the essence of Jiu-Jitsu, because we can't just make up the philosophy of Jiu-Jitsu, right? Jiu-Jitsu is an ancient martial art. There are roots, Japanese roots, even Chinese roots, in its philosophy. So understanding that, and also based on what we learned the interpretation of that philosophy by any means.
Mm.
So we separated it in the physical aspect, the mental aspect, and the emotional or spiritual aspect.
Mm.
And that's why we organized a code to better explain it, called the 753 code. The seven virtues of the warrior, the five elements of a healthy lifestyle, and three mindsets. So, we even have a booklet. Do you have this booklet?
Yeah,
we have a seminar.
Yeah, it's not available online yet, but maybe one day we can
make it. It's a very nice booklet.
Yeah,
we like our friends and students to come to Miami to visit.
Yeah, so we should
go over. But yeah, I should try to get you guys one.
Yeah, what else? I know from coming from a sport background, there's not a lot talked about
too much in the history. Unless you're looking for, you go after the knowledge, you won't come to you. Yeah? No one talks about
what they're taught in the school.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's important that we do know and understand. It's good to know where we come from and where we're going. It's really important. How do you think, what do you think is lost by the people? Like this, I understand the schools aren't teaching these things anymore, they're not more focused on the sporting aspect. What's being lost by taking away the philosophy and the other elements that you teach?
I think that the way our jiu-jitsu developed was very loose, you know? Was very free. And there are positives that come from that, but there are also negatives, and I think one of the main negatives is that we lost a little bit of this process of even education, right? I think that there is so much knowledge from our grandmasters that was really never transmitted to the younger generations. And today, the teachers that don't teach it, they're not doing it because they don't want to teach it. They're not doing it because of any other reason other than that's something that they did not learn. Right? Exactly what Luciano said. So I think that's our contribution, is to try to motivate and also help those that want to teach it, because I think it adds a lot of purpose to the practice of jiu-jitsu. Right? I think that the same way that we want to improve ourselves on the tatami, we want to improve our arm locks, we want to improve our triangles, our chokes, our sweeps, different techniques of jiu-jitsu, striking. We also can improve a lot as individuals, right? We can become better members of society. And it's not automatic. Sometimes we hear that, no, just by practicing jiu-jitsu, you become a better person. Not necessarily. Because jiu-jitsu is a weapon. So as you provide that weapon to your students, I think it is very important to also make sure that you're teaching them the values and having this connected with the fighting skills just makes the art complete. Right? It really helps the children, it helps all of us deal with sometimes the biggest enemy. The biggest enemy is not outside. The biggest enemy is within, right? You might not have somebody trying to beat you up. Hopefully not. Hopefully you don't even have to use these techniques in self-defense confrontations. But sometimes there's something that bothers you emotionally, and these skills can help tremendously when it comes to that.
You know, a lot of schools don't teach the standard of self-defense.
Also, you know, it's not, I don't think there's anything wrong, to be honest, with schools that don't teach, right? Of course, us, we come from a background, your lineage in martial arts, my lineage, we like to see self-defense, we like to see that approach. But jiu-jitsu can be taught through different expressions. That's something that we like to say. And one of the expressions is sport, and that has developed tremendously. I just think that students have to be very straight up straight is that the term? Very direct with their students.
Instructors need to be.
Correct. Instructors need to be. And students need to be very aware of what they're doing. So I have friends now that are coming to Miami and they want to develop self-defense programs in their school so that they can offer that. But it's important to make sure that if a student is joining your school, they're not thinking that they're learning self-defense and all they're doing is something for sport. And then somebody might say, I agree, but they're getting tough anyways. Who's going to beat them up? A good competitor can fight. Of course. Just like a good rugby player. Just like a good basketball player who's very strong. Who's going to beat up those guys? They're athletes. But the focus of the class needs to be clear to the student. Are we doing self-defense or we're doing sport? I come from a school, even though it was a school under even Grandmaster Edgar, his sons, you know, my instructor, Heuber and Volker at the time, in the 1990s, the class was taught, and I'm sure Luciano grew up in this mentality too, the class is taught based on what's happening in the current competitions, tournaments. Guys, this is how you can score 2 points, this is how you can get an advantage, and that's completely fine. Sport jiu-jitsu is so big right now. Right, so many events, professional events, people doing it. So many young athletes in Brazil coming from nothing and becoming famous, opening up schools all over the world. It just needs to be clear so that everyone can benefit from the
folks have a cousin, if they're not making it complete. I know you teach the stand-up self-defense, but if you're thinking of something as a self-defense system that you're only focused towards, this is what I'm saying, so I think.
Yeah, that's it.
That comes out of it. Sometimes.
Correct, and that's something that we don't want because I've been teaching now jiu-jitsu on a daily basis for about 25 years, my brother for 30 years. This year we celebrate 30 years since my brother first started teaching my name. And when we first started teaching, we were doing a lot of, you know, taking students to competitions the first few years. Eventually, after a few years, we decided to focus exclusively in a self-defense approach. In the beginning, throughout many years, some people, even in the BJJ community, our friends, people that we knew, criticized what we were doing. You know, this is not even jiu-jitsu, this is not real jiu-jitsu, maybe they're not sparring, maybe it's just the stand-up, maybe this, maybe that. Now, a lot of people want to do it. You see a lot of even old-school jiu-jitsu representatives coming back to self-defense, doing self-defense.
Few.
Yeah, I think it's great. No, even people that haven't been to our school, I think the people that came to our school, they, you know, they want to learn. They're very honest about the fact that they want to adopt it in their schools, right? They want to. But some people, what can't happen is this. Oh, it's good for business. You know, the Valente Brothers School makes money with that, so let's do that, and then it's what you're saying. And that's why for us, we want to teach the philosophy. We want to teach, we were talking about it right earlier. Mm-hmm. You have to do what you believe. If you're going to teach sport jiu-jitsu and you believe, look at how many schools are teaching pure sport jiu-jitsu and have 300 students, 400 students, right? So if you want to have a self-defense program in your school, my advice to you is this. Learn it, understand it, test it, and then teach it so that you can own those techniques. You need to be as passionate about a choke defense as you are to your favorite half-guard sweep. If not, don't do it.
Yeah, he's not going to bring people in and make them world champion, you know, well, send them to you. But yeah, that would be false advertising for me if it was like, if I was going to send them and make you a world champion, I can't do that. So,
yeah. And you could, if that's what you wanted to do it, right? You have the skills to do it, but you decided to focus on something that you were more interested in, and you felt was more
authentic. But
at the end of the day, I think the person who find the place to, I think they want to do sport jiu-jitsu, they go to a certain place, they want to do something to another place. The only thing that has to be clear, I think, online is which place the person is going for, yes. Right?
Instructor.
Yes, it's yes. Very clear. Look, I'm a sport jiu-jitsu or I'm self-jiu-jitsu, but be clear instead of trying to say you do both and you don't do both.
Exactly.
So I think that's one of the other, and then give the opportunity to people
to choose. Teach the standard self-defense
yeah.
as well.
Very good. I would do a basic part of the syllabus, but it's a very basic one, no? So if the person want to go through that, then they have to go private or it has to be separate because we try to do a bit of the self-defense and the sport jiu-jitsu. But you can't just, in one class, focus on self-defense. There was you know, time for you to do sport jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So even if you
have a sample, the student will know
exactly. Or you open a class just for self-defense, because you need a class for self-defense.
Exactly.
You cannot just do like 10 minutes of that and then that's it, it's done. You do need to repeat, go over all the details and everything.
And that's what I recommend. I think that eventually, it's important to, especially if you feel that there's a necessity, because you could be then, you could be in a school. I forgot their names, but there's two brothers in California. One time they talked about how jiu-jitsu for them was not self-defense. They did not view jiu-jitsu as self-defense. They never learned it as self-defense. And they're very successful at what they do. Their competitors both have won, I think, world titles. And they run a very successful school, from what I hear. Very hard-working guys, and they're clear about that. It's not self-defense. Right? Now, what's happening, and I think that was our advantage because of our connection with Eric Gracie, who was our teacher, of course, our father. We decided to do that when we were in our 20s. Right? We made that decision in our 20s. Because what we're seeing is that a lot of people that are stopping to compete, they can't compete anymore. They don't want to compete anymore because they're retiring from competition. They're coming back to self-defense. It's never too late if that's what you want to do. But again, what is the motive? What is the motivation, right? Motivation comes from motive. What is the reason behind it? Is it because you really want it? Is it because you really like it? Or is it because now it's convenient? And hey, people do whatever they want, right? It's a free world and you should have the right to do whatever you want. But talking about it, that's the discussion here today, talking about why, how, believe in it first. Do it because it's something that you're connected with. And you know what? Learn it. Eddie Gracie was the toughest man I met in my life. He was, I even say sometimes, I think my friends will understand. It's maybe more common in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
Suicida. He was suicidal in a good way. He was ready to die at any point to prove his technique, to test. Not even to prove, to test. Because if he was convinced that what he was doing was wrong, he would actually change. That's something that few people know about Eric Gracie. And he taught all of these techniques. The self-defense techniques that sometimes people see it being done in a very robotized almost manner, and they feel that these techniques don't work, that these techniques are boring. No, learn the techniques, find someone that can teach you, someone that does those techniques well, in a dynamic way to, of course you have to learn it, just like you learn an arm lock slowly, but eventually, the technique has to be done in motion, with movement, in a dynamic scenario, with a little bit of resistance, sometimes with full resistance. You have to use maybe one direction, change directions, one technique, combination of techniques. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to
scramble. That's what people don't see, is yeah. that when they change the technique, it changes, you know, very much dynamic. But they only see a kata format of it usually.
So here's the question, and this is very interesting, you said we were having this conversation, starting to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. Why is it okay? How many guard passes you know? If you had to say a number, right? A huge number.
Yeah.
Now, why is it, Danny, that sometimes we can only do two or three choke defenses? Right? So that's when you're treating jiu-jitsu self-defense as a kata, like you said, which is important. You need to know the basics. You need to know, right? The introduction, everything starts, there needs to be a process, an educational process, you know, the pedagogy process. But eventually, if it's fighting, we know that you need variations, you need to change, you need different alternatives. And that's what we started to see disappear in jiu-jitsu. And it became just a tradition. No, self-defense is treated, is regarded as a tradition that needs to be respected. And or it's just an exercise, or it's just a warm-up.
Formality.
Yeah, it's dead. The system is dead. It doesn't evolve, doesn't improve. While on the ground, we see constant changes, constant discussions, constant modifications, constant adaptations to people's sizing. And that's what needs to be rescued. That's what we've been doing. You know, because you've been training with us as well for the last many years now. You have to treat self-defense like that. You know, the same way that you pass the guard in many different ways, you can do a collar wrap defense in many different ways.
I've never seen jiu-jitsu practice that we did when I first went to Miami. I think the freshman did a demonstration with him.
These guys started training with us, and you know, of course, Eddie Grace is the one that taught us what we know, and also motivated us to be complete what he did. So we trained throwing techniques, we trained striking techniques, and we really dedicated ourselves to the art of teaching. We never used that to gain students. We were never the best fighters. We never promoted ourselves as champions. What we did was, we want to teach the best way possible. And that's what we did, and that's what we're trying to do.
That's what I saw in the striking before, or throwing classes, doing sports. You never see that.
No, seminars were starting, even in our lineage. Seminars were starting from your knees. A whole seminar on what to do from your knees. Right? It was just a way for you to improve your class sparring techniques. Jiu-jitsu is a lot more.
Because when we came to Miami, they said they would slam us on our heads if we said.
Yeah, we had a rule, which is interesting. Of course, it's if you're practicing for sport, you can't do that. But we have a rule that if somebody picks you up and you don't open your guard, they're allowed to slam you. It never happens. We don't want people to slam each other because it's very dangerous. But we say, look, don't hang. And back in the old school, remember, there was a carpet right next to just like here. And Joel, who was very strong, he would walk you out and say, I'm going to slam you on concrete. And yes. By the way, when I was young, I don't know if when you started training jiu-jitsu.
It used to be allowed.
It used to be allowed.
Pilar, man.
Yeah.
It used to be triangle punch. Triangle defense. I'm going to do a triangle. You won't.
And we saw it in MMA.
It's not from my time, but I heard it.
We saw it in MMA, many knock outs.
Yeah.
So,
Carlos Newton and Matt Hughes, you know that?
Yeah, those are like a double triangle. No. Randy Page Jackson.
Against Roman. Brian.
Good guys. No, thank you so much.
Thank you, Randy. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Ron, so much.
Thank you, Eric. Next time we'll do one in Dutch too, so.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having us.
Of course.
My pleasure, guys. Brilliant.